Thank you, Lord. Please minister these words to our heart and mind so that we receive it and live by it. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last time we ended with verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The end of verse 5 gives us a reason to be gentle, patient, rejoicing. The Lord is at hand. Do we really believe that? That the Lord is at hand? Look at the signs. Jesus is coming back soon. We ought to be about our Father's business and fill up the kingdom of God so the bride is complete and he comes for his bride. The Lord is at hand. I think people here think they're going to live forever. We're not. The Lord is at hand. That's the way we put life in perspective. The Lord is at hand. So rejoice in the Lord. We're going to be with him soon. Isn't that wonderful? But we must believe it. We can't be sharing with people Jesus Christ is coming back soon and live like the world. Let's look at us and say, well, you're no different than me. The Lord is at hand. One of the things that can take us away from rejoicing in the Lord, one of those things that can pull us away from always rejoicing in the Lord is worry. Worry and anxiety. Rejoicing is an activity and worrying is an activity. One survey taken concerning worry showed only 8% of things people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. 8% were legitimate matters of concern. I think we could say amen. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters which the people had no control over anyway. Isn't that true? Wow. Which activity would you rather be involved in, worrying or rejoicing? Don't even spend 1% on worry. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. This is God's will and desire for his children. And nothing means no thing. No thing. This will free us up a lot of our time and energy if we don't worry. And remember, this is not a suggestion from God. Hey, people, I think it'd be good if you don't worry. No, the Bible isn't words of suggestion. They're commands. When we break them, we sin. People say, well, I never sin. Did you worry yesterday? Were you forgiving? See, worry is a command from God not to take part in it. Why? Because God our Father loves us and wants us to be worry-free and just be blessed and count on him. Worry leads to anxiety, and worry leads to bad health. And doctors acknowledge this today. The cause of many ailments. Stress, anxiety. Stress doesn't necessarily come from anxiety and worry. There are things brought on us even by other people. We can't help it. But we can control the worry and the anxiety. Very important, life-changing verses for us today in verse 6 and 7. But we must apply them in order to benefit. You don't have to go home and order some pills online and get them to start taking them. And, hey, I got these no-worry pills. They really work. You ought to try them. They call those drugs. We must apply these things and we will benefit. But please don't leave here worrying this morning, worrying about these verses and say, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be able to stop worrying. Keep your minds on God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Does God have all power? Can we trust in Him and worry about nothing? Worry comes, now listen to this. This I read this and this was very, very profound to me. Worry comes from wrong feeling and wrong thinking. Worry comes from wrong feeling and wrong thinking. Because it's a heart issue and a mind issue. Worrying comes from wrong feeling and wrong thinking. Feeling is the heart and thinking is the mind. I read that and I said, that's true. We see how to have victory over these things of worry and anxiety. And verses 6, 7, and 8, we'll cover start covering 8 next week. But it's the heart and the mind. What do we do to keep our mind and heart in the right place? There's your victory. There's my victory. Our feelings and our thoughts. We eliminate the activity of worry in our life. Here's how we do it. We substitute it with the activity of prayer. They're both activities. Worry or prayer. Which do you think will benefit you more? Don't be stupid. Don't worry. I'm stupid at times. We need to have right feelings and right thinking. The activity of prayer, which means communicating with God our Father. Don't worry, but pray about everything. It's more or less what verse 6 says. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You notice the two words, nothing and everything? One is we worry about nothing, and the other we do about everything. Isn't that great? Key words in these verses. There is no small or big issue in life. Oh, I don't want to pray about that, you know. God's got more important things to take up, or I don't want to bother people in praying about this because it's a small thing. There are no big or small issues in life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to. Well, I'd feel stupid asking for that. No. That's Satan getting in our head. You see, it says, anxious for nothing, but with prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We instead of worrying about everything, we pray about everything. And everything by prayer. Everything. It doesn't say, in the major matters of your life, you better pray about it. You know, small things lead to big things. Prayer puts our mind and heart on God. And it puts the circumstances in our life in God's hands. It's here, God. It's yours now and not mine. Did you ever feel, oh, I wish I could just get rid of this? In a sense, that's what God is saying. Take it off your back and put it in my hands. Doesn't that sound good? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't we foolish at times? We don't do that. A lot of times I look at my life and I say, thank God Jesus died on the cross and I'm saved by grace. I'd never make it. Fact is, you know, prayer puts our mind and heart on God, and it puts the circumstances of our life in God's hands. The fact is, our lives are already in God's hands as a Christian, and He already knows what our life will be from beginning to end, and He has a plan, but we are told to ask. Sometimes people are too proud to ask others for help, and you miss out. Don't be too proud. Ask God for help. See, God tells us to, that word ask, Jesus said ask in the Gospels, there, it means please ask. Again, not a suggestion. Hey, why don't you ask the Father? Please ask. And then what it is, it's handing everything over to God, and it releases us, knowing that He has all resource and power. Did you ever say, oh, this thing's just too big for me? But it's not for God. It's not for God. Knowing, you know God is in it once you pray about it. Until we ask, we're handling it alone. Pray about everything, big and small. It's like saying, here, God, this is yours. Help me to get through it. Work your will out. But I trust in you to handle it. Yours. You release it when you ask, when I ask. That's proper prayer. Releasing it to God. Petitioning and releasing it. It's important that we always pray properly. And not just mouth the words. Some people think all they have to do is mouth some words and they're going to get what they want. That's not prayer at all. Well, I asked and God didn't do it. Well, you don't even have a relationship with God. You see, it's not the words of the mouth. It's the attitude of the heart and mind where you release things to God. Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 7 and 8. Jesus teaching them on prayer, he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. See, they thought the more they say, the more God is going to do. That's not the way it works. You can say, help me, and mean it in your heart and mind, and God hears and He answers. Isn't that wonderful? Some people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You know how to order food in a restaurant, don't you? You just ask, and they bring it. It's that simple. But He does it His way. Now, if you sit at that table and you never answer the waiter or the server, you're not going to get anything. The food's there, but you're not going to get anything. They know you're hungry. And God says, you must ask. It acknowledges God. It makes us sincere about it. We know that all good things come from God above. Just ask. And so in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We make our requests known to God, and we ask through prayer and supplication. God already knows what's going on in our life, but He says, petition me, and that way He's glorified. And then you can say, God did it. He wants the glory. Okay, prayer and supplication. Prayer means here the general prayer in our everyday life. Just general prayer. You wake up, ask Him to take care of your needs, worship Him, acknowledge Him, ask for His help, and that's just our general prayer. We should be doing that. Supplication is a specific, earnest request. Please touch me here, Lord. or it's a specific thing. Lord, help me with this situation and show me what to do. It's a specific supplication you bring to God, and you pray about that. The prophet prayed for rain, and it rained. It's a specific thing that you come to God with. General prayer is covering everything. God, take care of me today. Provide for my needs. Work things out. So, in everything in life, we don't worry, general or specific. We don't get anxious, but instead we go to God in prayer. Now, Satan will fight you on this. He'll fill up your mind and heart with other things and get you so overwhelmed with the circumstances that you even have a hard time praying. You ever get there? Right? Your thoughts aren't even clear enough to even pray. Settle down. Don't worry. You know, I remember our children when they were babies, you know, something happens and they start with a small cry and whimper. But as you don't run to them right away and take care of it, it gets worse and worse and worse. And then they're just bawling and crying and they're just snot all over their face and their eyes are running. You know what I mean? You ever see them in that condition? And they're just throbbing, you know? It just so out of order that it's hard to calm them down. Did you notice that? You go over and they scream louder. It's worse when it happens in a store, isn't it? They get louder and louder and you don't know how to handle it. And you got to just bring them to your breast and just try to calm them down, but it takes a while. That's why we as a baby need to come to the Lord as a little child right away with what we think is little or big and bring it to him right away in prayer so that we don't get worked up. And then we're uncontrollable. And we can't even think or pray. We don't want to be babies. We want to be mature Christians. You see? So take care of it right away. With everything, go to God in prayer right away. I've heard people say, well, I tried everything else, so I'd like to come and pray about it. Well, that's your problem. You don't go to the other thing first, the other way for help. You go to the Lord first. Then he'll direct you what to do. You pray first. Let the burden be lifted off of you and allow your Father in heaven to take care of it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Hebrews 4, verse 6. 16, I'm sorry. 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to come boldly before the throne of grace, before God's throne, and receive mercy and grace. We're to come. He tells us to come. That's part of praying properly, is having the right attitude that you can't do it, God can, and you come to him right away. You see, that's praying properly, doing it right away, not worrying, not being anxious, bringing it to the Lord. But there's one more element. And people may say, well, I've done all of that. Well, maybe this is what's missing. There's one more element in praying properly. And that's in the same verse 6. Pray with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Oh, I didn't think of that. Well, it's in the Bible. We pray with thanksgiving. It makes all the difference. What happens when you're praying with thanksgiving? You're believing God is going to do it. Why would you thank someone if they didn't do anything for you? You thank someone because you know they've done it for you. It's a done deal, in other words, when you come to God in prayer. Example, I go in for a job interview. They like me. They really love me. Exactly what they were looking for. They hire me at a great salary. So far, so good, right? Then they tell me, oh, you can start in 2 weeks. Well, praise the Lord, because I was thinking of taking a vacation anyway. Now I'm settled. I got the job, what I wanted, the money I wanted, and they don't want me to start for 2 weeks. Hooray, we're off to Hawaii. So I go on vacation for 2 weeks, really enjoying it, worry-free. I got the job. I relax and feel great. I thank God and everything works out. Why? Because I know I will have that job in 2 weeks and therefore there's no worries. Same situation. Want a job, look for it, get it, get a great salary. They tell me we're going to start in 2 weeks. But if you're a worrier, you go on vacation and you're not thankful to God for the job. You prayed, but you didn't thank him. And you just took it for granted. And so you're on vacation and you're going to spend 2 weeks and you start worrying about it. Because it's still in your hands. You didn't release it to God. You start worrying about it. Hey, honey, you think the job will still be there in 2 weeks? Or do you think they'll find somebody better in the meantime? Hey, what if something happens to the company? Or what if things don't work out? And what if I don't get back in time? Oh, no, and you go through all these things. The vacation is lost. You're worried all the time. What was the difference? Trusting God. When you pray, you put it in his hands. Relax. When you're still carrying it yourself, you better worry. Maybe it won't be there. But if you trust God, you prayed, he led you there, it worked out, chill out. Enjoy it. You see the difference? Worrying and not worrying? When you're worrying, you don't enjoy the day that God has given you today. You're losing the 2 weeks and 3 weeks and a month and a year. Commit yourself to not worry, to pray properly. We can take our petitions to God and trust he hears us and he will work. That's why we pray with thanksgiving. Once you pray with thanksgiving, you're making a commitment that you trust God to work it out. It's a done deal. I got the job. This worked out. That's going to work out. What sounds better to you? Worry or trust? Thanksgiving acknowledges that God did hear, will work out the situation in your life, and you know it before it happens. You just know it by faith that what God's will happen. Don't forget to thank him before things work out. Isn't it easy, a lot easier to thank and praise him after the fact? Praise the Lord. We can all come in here on Sunday morning and praise the Lord for what he did this week. But what about praising him for what he's going to do next week? Because we prayed. We'll enjoy the week. Satan doesn't want you to enjoy the week next week. He wants you to take that anxiety and carry it on another week. Then he's got you another week. Pray with thanksgiving and rest. It must be the attitude of the mind and heart, not just the lips. The words aren't going to do it. The mind and the heart. My attitude must be right to pray properly, a sincere and thankful heart and mind. I know this, we feel better when we don't worry. We feel a lot better. A lot of people talk about positive thinking. There are books, seminars, meetings about positive thinking. There are churches that preach positive thinking. But it's usually about financial wealth or security here. Isn't that interesting? It's always all about here on this life, this earth. Be positive. Positive thinking is in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8, you can tell them. You know, I remember, I think I've shared this before. Years ago when we moved from Costa Mesa up to here, we had a garage sale. Put everything out on the table in front of the house, all the books and stuff. And I had this one book that someone gave me, and I put it out on the table. And the title of the book was, Everything Men Know About Women. That was popular years ago. Everything men know about women, and put that out on the table. And this guy came by on his bicycle. He saw the car, he's, how much you want? He gave me the money, he took it. He gets on his bike, he's halfway down the road, and he breaks out in laughter and turns around and gives me the thumbs up. You open up the book and all the pages are blank. Everything men know about women. And how did I get on? Oh, positive thinking. Yeah. You know, there's books and all on it, but we could, we could create a book with all blank pages, and the very first page has Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8, and writes those verses. Here it is, positive thinking. It's knowing God loves you, he's all powerful, he's trustworthy, he hears your prayers, and nothing is too hard for him. So we don't want to worry. Be blessed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. That means your life. Okay? Don't worry about it. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add 1 cubit or 18 inches to his stature? I've never seen anybody do that. Grow by worrying. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. God will provide clothing for you. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Taking care of our needs. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And Matthew 6:33 is the verse I always stand by in life and share for people to start their life out with. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek God first and his righteousness. Be concerned about pleasing God, worshiping God, ministering to God or for God, or blessing him, worshiping him. Seek him first and living right, his righteousness. And God is saying, I will take care of you. I will add all these other things in life that I have for you. You don't have to go chasing them. You chase after him, and in that process, he puts your life together. The world can't comprehend that. A person in the world can't comprehend that. They'll think you're nuts. Well, if I don't get out there and strive and get it or go for it or do whatever I can, how am I going to attain anything? Well, by Matthew 6:33, God is not a liar. I did it, and he put my life together. Seek ye first his kingdom and righteousness, and God will add all this to you. See, don't worry. Worry and prayer don't go together. They don't go together. Pray with thanksgiving. All of you know about Daniel the prophet. He was a praying man. Let's see what happened. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. He thought a lot about Daniel, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. God's spirit was in him, and people could see it. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel. They didn't like him because he was a goody-goody concerning his kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. They didn't like him, the other leaders, because, hey, he's a godly man. And we don't like that. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He had such a good reputation. He was beyond reproach. He was obedient to God. He lived godly." They says, "We're never going to find anything wrong with this guy." Isn't that wonderful to be that way? The Bible tells us to be beyond reproach and have a good report of the world. Even in the world, we are to live godly in Christ Jesus. We shouldn't worry about someone finding something out about us. We should be living godly and have an open book in this world. And that's the way Daniel was. He says, it's going to have to be something against his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. King, make a decree that you're king and we worship and honor you. And if anybody prays to any god other than you or seeks any help from any other god, they're to be thrown into the lion's den." They said, we're going to get Daniel on this one. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open, as he usually did, toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days." Isn't that wonderful? Here's a guy that did this daily. Part of his life he prayed and sought God and gave thanks. In the sight of this threat, you will be thrown into the lion's den. And he didn't care. You know, he didn't become one of these secret Christians. "Well, I'm not going to let anybody know I'm a Christian. I'll pray it quiet in my house." He did the same thing he always did, very upfront about it, opened the windows, people could hear him. He prayed and he gave thanks to God. God first. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying." Oh, gosh, he's praying and making supplication before his God. So they told the king, you know, but he gave thanks and he prayed. So let's get down to verse 16. They reported him. "So the king gave the commandment and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" He loved Daniel, but he had to obey the decree. He says, "Daniel, your God will save you." He's probably saying, "Won't he?" You know, "You're going to be okay." "Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went into the palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him." King couldn't sleep. Worried, not sleeping. "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went by haste to the lion's den. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel," not expecting to hear anything. "Then the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever.'" You think he was shocked? "O king, live forever. Whoa, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And then he has the other guys kill the king. The result of not worrying, of praying and praying with thanksgiving, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, which seemed like sure death. And guess what happens? He's able to praise the Lord. The king, not praying, not a servant of the Lord, verse 18, spent the night worrying and no sleep. You see the difference? Where do you want to be? I'd rather be in the lion's den with God and praying than safe outside and not walking with the Lord and not praying. Better to be there because you know God will protect you and take care of you. So let's get back to our last verse here. If we live that way, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A result of doing that, we're told the peace of God, not only that passes understanding, surpasses understanding. Nobody can understand this, you know, that you'll have such a peace in such a horrible situation. Have you ever been there where you just have peace and you don't understand even yourself why you have peace? Hey, I'm in a tough situation, but I have peace about it. And people misunderstand you. They think you don't understand the situation. Hey, I got the Lord. It's not that I don't care, but I have peace of mind and peace of heart. You know, it's true. The best things in life are free. They're free. Peace, joy, love, peace of mind, feelings and thinking. Isaiah 26, please. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The promise from God. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We pray, we keep our mind on the Lord, we thank him, but then we trust him. We just trust him. He will control this thing in my life. He's in charge. He's God. He's sovereign. I must keep my mind on the Lord, not myself, not my circumstances. The question is, do we really trust God? And we have to challenge ourselves with that. Do we really trust God, or do we go by sight or feeling? By our, you know, have what we see in our mind and the hurt in our heart? Or do we go by faith and pray and trust God? We pray properly. We trust him. We thank him and know that we can't work it out, but God can. Maybe today you're in the lion's den. You're anxious. You're worried. You don't know what's going to happen. But what I would suggest is be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard what? Your hearts and your minds, your feelings and your thoughts, through the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. What great verses today. Keys to life. Please help us to obey them. Give us wisdom, strength, and Lord, I pray we would all understand the power of prayer. But praying with thanksgiving, knowing that you will answer, you will work, and you will do what's best. Help us to have that planted in our mind and heart, and we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.